listening to the Mayor Morrell Speaks podcast. This is your host, Mayor Ron Morrell Jr. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome to episode 3 of the Mayor Morrell Speaks podcast. Today, the title of the podcast is called Understanding the Other Side. And I have with me the great Chief of Police, Dave Gilbert.
Hit that again. I like it. Thanks, Mayor.
Well, a round of applause. Two of them actually are very, very much well deserved. We are have a public servant who's been doing this for 37 years, serving on our Marion Police Department, second time as chief, who has been a phenomenal person in the community, a phenomenal servant, and somebody who brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to this police department and to this episode. Welcome, Chief Gilbert.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is this is my third episode. I think it's going to be one of my favorites. So tell me, why did you first want to become a police officer?
I'll tell you, my parents. My dad served our country for 22 years in the Air Force, and just most of my family are nurses. I'm the black sheep of the family for being a policeman, I guess, but it's service, and it was just something that was never preached to us, but was just done, you know? So here I am 37 years later.
Wow. And that's a long career to do anything, but yeah, really to be serving as a police officer. So this is your second time around as chief of police. So for the people listening, so what's really cool, I have listeners locally, statewide, and I've actually found people listening all across the country, so I'm super excited, and people keep on listening. We're going to have some great things. But what is the responsibilities of a chief of police?
Well, first and foremost is to remember who the customer is. We work for the people. They pay for what we do, and we should never forget that. But more specifically, my job is to lead and manage. There's a difference. Manage resources, manage things, budgets, all those things. But more importantly, it's to lead people. You manage things, you lead people. My job, I think, is to set the tone at your direction, what are our values, being in tandem with what your vision is, setting the tone as it applies to the police department, letting our guys know what the mission is, what's expected, what won't be accepted, and just kind of set the tone, lead from the front, and let these guys know that they're valued, that we trust them, and that we want them out there making people safer. That's really about it.
Yeah, and that's great. You know, and I really appreciate you, Chief, because when we talk pretty frequently, is our visions are aligned. So when you think of a vision for the Marion Police Department, what do you think about? What's your goal to accomplish for the police department?
My vision is to find, and it's always a moving target, but to find that perfect intersection between letting that 3-4% of our population who makes violence and crime their lifestyle, let them know that you're not welcome here, and never apologize for that. And at the same time, the other side of that track is to let the good people who pay for what we do know they're getting a return on their investment. Because if you think about it, Mayor, people like my parents go their whole life and they wouldn't think to call the police. They were raised to handle their own issues, and to call the police would be embarrassing. But yet, most people are paying their taxes for years to support what we do, to pay for what we do, and never call the police, never get a return on the investment that they can see. And yet we're dealing with this small group of people who just have disorder in their lives and commit crimes and hurt people as a way of living that get all of the attention. And I always thought that was out of whack. I think we need to do things like Youth Academy. We need to reach out to good people and say, hey, here's what you're getting for your money. And I think we fail at that sometimes. I think it's important we do that. We focus so much on criminality and negativity, arresting crooks, and that's our job. But what are the good people getting from us? Yeah. So we like to do that outreach. So we have to find that perfect combination. That's what we always strive to do.
Yeah, wow. That's great. You know, how can we service all people? And I think we're doing a great job, and we're actually moving more in that direction, which brings me to my next point about recruiting. you know, we are in a position right now where we are heavily focused on, I'll use your words, you know, recruiting and retaining our officers. And so when you are looking for a new officer, what are the qualifications? Or I think the public needs to know the steps and the length that a person has to go to through to become a police officer. So let's walk us through those steps.
Yeah, it's pretty detailed. The first thing we look for is character, honesty, integrity, willingness to serve. Those things are not so easy sometimes to see on a resume, but we strive to see that through the process. We hope to have a college degree. When I was chief before, when I left the position, I was chief for 12 years, and we had worked to the point where we had about three quarters of the police department had a college degree of one sort or another. I was very proud of that. I'm the first chief to have a four-year college degree in the history of the, thank you, of the department, which I'm proud of. That's what we need. But at the same time, character and integrity trump those things. So right now what we're looking to do is hire people who want to serve first of all, are selfless most of the time. They want to earn a living. They want an honest paycheck, but they want to actually help people, and we want them to mean that. And we want to, quite honestly, we want to hire people who are going to stand up to people who other citizens will cross the street to avoid. We need them to have courage and the ability to say, listen, we're not going to tolerate that, and here's what we're going to do about it with people who want to hurt other people. But it's a lengthy process. You have to apply several interviews, physical fitness testing, a medical fitness testing, mental evaluation, polygraph, background investigation. The state of Indiana takes a crack at it with the pension perspective, make sure they're going to get a good risk on a long-term investment in a career, and just probably a few things that I'm forgetting about. But it takes months.
Yeah, and that's what I saw coming into this new, something I didn't know. I mean, realistically, by the time we get done, if I'm understanding correctly, even if you make through all of that, the rigorous applications and the interviews from locally and the state and going to the academy, et cetera, you're looking at about a year process.
Yeah, it usually, I used to think of it as a year to get hired, and then the journey begins. Then it's another year before you're able to even be considered to police solo in our city. It's too important to trust it to chance. I mean, we have to train our guys to handle things. We're a full-service organization, so we're dealing with things as minor as unlocking a car for a citizen to responding to homicides like we had the other day. It's just, and everything in between. So it's very important. To put somebody out there who's not prepared for that is irresponsible. We're just not going to do it.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate that from the chief, because, you know, my understanding in the past, you could technically put somebody out there on the road earlier out of desperation. But the leadership that I've learned from Chief Gilbert is, you know, the police are dealing with people's lives, and we don't want to take that lightly. So this year and plus process of getting somebody ready to go out there and be alone and doing things is super is important, and we want to make sure that the public service that we're putting out there for our citizens are in a top notch. And sometimes that take a little bit longer, but I mean, everybody be encouraged. We have leaders in place that are doing everything that we can to make sure that we're putting out the best possible officers. So, now going down this path, and we obviously dealing with crime. It's a part of your job. It's a part of things I'm looking at from the stats. And quite frankly, you know, as I travel around, I meet with different developers and different people that I'm trying to get moving, Marion, businesses, citizens, etc. They bring up three things, right? They bring up schools. They bring up public safety, which is going to get into this with crime. And they bring up the cleanliness of the city. So everyone I talk to, and sometimes the order has some variation to it, but those three things are what people always reference. So with that being said, what you do is the front of everyone's mind. So when you think of our crime rate in Marion, and where we are, where we have been, and then where we are heading now, what are some ideas or some solutions you have that we can move towards moving the needle in a positive direction?
Well, that's why we're here today, Mayor. By the way, because when we met many months ago, I had no intention of being the chief of police again. I was a citizen who was hoping we'd get a good mayor in office to do positive things, but you kind of lit a fire in me by a lot of what you just said when we were talking just as a citizen to a mayoral candidate. We have got to do better with making people safer and feel safer. Listen, if you're a citizen in Marion who's living a lifestyle that's relatively low risk, if you're not hurting other people, if you're not taking things that don't belong to you, if you're not out at 3:30 in the morning, you know, liquored up, and that's a high-risk lifestyle, and you can expect that you're going to get the result of that sooner or later. If you're a person who's just going to work and working hard, taking care of their family, you're safe in Marion for the most part. But at the same time, we can always do better. So I've looked at the crime numbers for the last several years, and I don't like them. I think we can do much better. When I don't want to talk about being the chief before, except for how it informs us now. And I can tell you, each of the 12 years that I was chief before, it was one of the number one goals is that at the end of the year, we would submit a report card to the public about how we'd done in terms of reducing crime. And I'm glad to tell you, we reduced it every year. It's my intention that we'll do the same thing with under your leadership. We're going to take what we've been given. The stats are what they are, but we're going to make them better. Our report card's going to be better. We're going to make people safer, and we're going to make people feel safer at the same time. So we're going to arrest criminals. I guess I could talk for an hour if you like, but I'll sum it up by telling you this. One thing that I think has been lacking a little bit is the idea that citizens should be, I don't say angry, but citizens should not tolerate reading the newspaper every day about crime. At some point, a citizen has a right to go, I don't like that. And what are you doing about it? And part of it is, I believe any criminal can be redeemed, but part of the process is to, if you're one of those hardcore criminals, is to get you out of circulation. And in our world, that means arresting people. If you're one of those 3% of the population who hurts people every day, I'm going to put you in jail if I can, or I'm going to make your life so uncomfortable. If that's your choice to do that, and you've put yourself out there as somebody, hey, I'm going to do these things and you're not going to stop me, well, we're either going to make you want to go somewhere else and live, or we're going to find a place for you to stay. And then in that process, if the sheriff at the jail can get you services, and maybe there's some way you can see life a different way, or maybe Judge Spitzer in a drug court situation, if redemption can happen further down the line, that's fine. But we understand that our role in the first part of that process is to provide the customer to those people who can help them. And in doing that, we make people safer. So we're not going to apologize. If you're a crook who hurts people every day, you've got our attention, and we're going to make Marion not a place for you to be. I promise you.
Yes, and that's great. And that's our vision is very much aligned on that. And because without that type of intentionality and type of focus on eradicating the crime in Marion, any of the other development, I'll call it sexy development, that people want to see, is not happening. Because when people are talking to me as I travel across the state, nationwide yet regarding Marion or international, but around the state, these are the things that people are concerned about and that they're asking. So for those who are listening to this, whether you're listening in real time or you're listening years down the line, so we're currently 3 months into this administration, and so there's some things that we inherited, and one thing that we have inherited is a low number of officers, physical officers. So that's why we're super, super focused on recruiting. And in order for us to be able to do the things that we're talking about, I mean, number one, help reduce the crime rate, be able to do some of the other things that the chief had mentioned earlier, getting out involved in the community, we have to be able to strengthen our police force. And, you know, so me and the chief are very much aligned on that and doing everything we can to make sure that our recruiting efforts are pushed forward to strengthen our police. Now, I mean, I know there's some counter arguments that say that more police don't equal the solution to this, but I would say that just looking back through Marion's history, and, you know, Chief can speak to this as well because he's done this before, when we've had more officers, it was a little bit easier to execute some of these things.
Absolutely. If you want to be innovative, and we do, if you want to be proactive instead of reactive all the time, you have to have the resources to do it. And I would say to the people who say that more police officers doesn't necessarily equate to lower crime, that's true as a concept or a theory. Our job is to hire the right people. But that's kind of like saying money can't buy you happiness. Well, that's true, but it sure does help, you know. So it's the same thing in our business. If we have the troops, we can get some things done. Right now, with the numbers we have, we're almost completely reactive in a lot of ways. Now, that's not to say that we're not arresting crooks, because we are. Mayor, you know that you weren't mayor for 3 hours before I was on the phone with you at 3 a.m.
Yes.
from a crime scene saying, we're cleaning this mess up.
Right.
And that's the start. And that's what I said to you that night. And I intend to keep a promise that this is just the beginning. We're still going to listen, in any community, crime is when human beings come together, some human beings are going to want to hurt other human beings. It's just the human condition. It's been that way since the beginning of time. It'll be that way till the end of times. But what are you willing to tolerate as a community is what I would ask you. We're always going to have people who are criminals. It's just the way it is. But I don't accept that it has to just be limitless. We're going to stand up to crooks, and we need the numbers of people to do it. So that's a good segue. Recruitment is one of our number one priorities right now. So listen, if you're listening to this podcast and you know someone, they don't have to have a college degree. They don't have to have had previous police experience. If they have character, let's say it's the kid who's mowed your lawn since you're an older person, you can't serve, you're maybe past the age. A kid's mowed your lawn and he seems like he needs a purpose in life. He knows how to serve, he was raised right or she was raised right. Tell them to call us. We want to hire good people. We like to hire local people when we can. We want to hire females. We want to hire female officers. We talk about a police department representing its community and how it looks. We have two female officers right now, and I mentioned this, Mayor, to you the other day. When I came on in 1987, you know how many we had? Two. We had two females then. We have two females now. That's not progress. And as the father of three daughters, I believe the department should look like the community, and in that regard, we do not. So, young ladies, don't rule that out. If you want to be a police officer, have a career that means something, that's serving a cause larger than yourself, come see us and we'll talk to you, I promise.
Yes, I mean, and that's great. We want to make sure, and what I want to reiterate that I love that you just said is, we want to have a police force that represents our community, and we're working hard to be able to do that. And we've made some progress, but there's so much more progress we can make. So with that, how can the local community work alongside the police department to encourage and create a more safe environment?
A couple of things. You know me, Mayor, well enough now to know I could talk for 4 hours about the police department and these things, but I'll summarize by telling you the most important thing a citizen can do is to not tolerate foolishness, not accept that it's our fate, that if you live in a neighborhood that's you're afraid to go out on the front porch, that's not okay. And if you see a crime happen, let us know, help us help you. There's so many crimes that are committed that we go and we talk to people and nobody wants to tell us what happened. And that's a shame. It's almost a recipe for just maintaining that way that it is. If you're not willing to be part of the solution, then by default, you're really part of the problem. So help us help you, and don't tolerate it. Don't accept that it's our fate. Get mad about it. It's okay. Something happens in your neighborhood that's violent and unacceptable. It's okay for you to be mad. And then you should expect us to do something about it. And that's what we hope to do. So just don't get complacent. Don't think that it's the way it is. It's not, it doesn't have to be that way. Mayor, you've asked us to clean up the city, and that just doesn't mean in terms of cleanliness. It means in terms of behavior and criminality and making people safe. It really boils down to that. If you feel safe where you live, then it's a good life, and that's what we want to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And you know, so when I think of policing, obviously I'm not a police officer by any means and have no experience, but as I've been talking to Chief, it's been giving me a kind of insight of what's going on. I think of it, a police officer as somebody who's a lion and a lamb, right? So there's times when the bite is necessary, the roar is necessary, mm-hmm. but then there's other times when we are more of a lamb towards people. And I think that we, as our man, the police department, are doing a really great job in navigating those two things. And again, where we are in time, just recently on Facebook, it was shared one of our officers took time out of his day and sat down on the, I think it was officer, maybe Kilgore.
Kilgren.
Kilgren, yes. Yeah, Sergeant Kilgren. Took time out of his day and sat down and just sit down and to talk to someone, right? So that's the lame part of this job. But then there's other parts where somebody's done something wrong and we're coming at full force. So don't be mistaken that, you know, when it's time to be nice, we'll be nice. But when it's time to be aggressive and mean, that's what we're here to do.
That's a right. Perfect. Yeah.
So that's how and anybody knows that that's, I mean, because a lion and a lamb is two oxymoronic type of things. So there's a line to be walked between both of those. But that's the challenge and the role that the officers have accepted. So I think that the community needs to understand that the role that the police are playing is vital. I think of it as, you know, public safety. I think of the city of Marion as a wheel, and you know, and everyone had their spokes, right? Everything's important to make sure this wheel functions, right? Think of a wheel in your car. You have the spokes that connect to the outer rim. Everything's important. But on the inside, isn't it? You know, the hubcap where all the spokes come to. And I think of public safety as the hubcap that is holding all the other spokes together. So unless we take a serious investment in the public safety and getting alongside and supporting our public safety, everything else is going to fall apart. So I really appreciate the effort that our officers, men and women, put into this and navigating what seems to be almost oxymoronic, being a lion and a lamb, being nice and aggressive, you know. And we do a great job of navigating that, and I'm looking forward to the next 4 years of continued success.
Yeah, that's a perfect analogy. I'm going to steal that. I haven't used that, but I promise you, the next public talk I do, I'm going to use that, if you don't mind, Mayor. Yeah. That's a perfect analogy. That couldn't sum it up any better. To help someone like Sergeant Kilgren, just having a conversation with somebody who might be struggling, the next call he goes on might be a situation where someone shot someone else and he has to deal with that. And that's a perfect way to explain what we try to do.
Yeah. So thank all of you for listening and supporting the Mamoril Speaks podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Chief Gilbert for being on the episode today. You know, I really appreciate that. And make sure you follow us on all the social media accounts. We're available on every streaming platform. And we're looking forward to keep bringing you great content of what goes on in local government. Thank you so much.